Hello and welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Connor. Mike is here with me as always, and we're excited to be with you. We are talking today about how not to be a, what's our title? A socio-political bad loser?
No, yeah. How not to be a socio-political jerk.
Jerk. There you go. Okay.
But really, the real title is how to win or lose graciously according to biblical truth, not your own mind.
Okay. So that's what's on the table today, how to win or lose graciously according to biblical truth and not your own mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, when this drops on Thursday the 7th, is that right? Thursday the 7th, you know, Donald Trump has been reelected to serve as the 47th president of the United States, and we're talking about how to win or lose graciously. So, Mike, I know you have some thoughts because you're going to do some teaching on this even tonight as of the time that we're recording this. So let me just kick it to you, big picture thoughts first, and then we can get into anything that's more granular.
Ooh, big picture or big, granular?
Big picture,
I like the word granular. This is a really good word for today. Okay, so how to win or lose graciously according to biblical truth, not your own mind, all right? Or better yet, how not to be a socio-political jerk.
There you go.
Right? Big picture, I'll take you to 1 Peter 2:17. It's a well-known verse. It's a summation type of a verse. Covers a lot of things. Here's how it reads. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've got 5 points for you today. I feel like they're big ideas. And then we can get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
The granular.
Okay.
The nitty-gritty.
There you go. Sounds
okay?
good.
So here's the thing. Here are the 5 big ideas. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, honor everyone.
I knew we were going here. Keep going. I knew it.
Number two, love the brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, fear God. Number four, honor the emperor.
Number five is the big question mark because the verse ends right there.
Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
A temporary development should not push you off point of doing these things to despair or boasting. And we'll get into some really nitty-gritty when we talk about not despairing and not boasting and where true character is shown.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where we're going.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to just run through them one at a time?
Let's run through them one at a time. And I'd like to see what you think about each one of these points. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So honor everyone. We break it down. To honor, biblically, timao, means to fix a price or put a value on someone or something. By the way, it's the same word that's used in that same verse at the end. Honor the emperor, same word. Okay? So it means to fix a value, put a high price on. So the idea is that you really, really value everyone.
Hmm.
Wow.
Hmm.
So doesn't mean you condone their sin or celebrate their sin. Doesn't mean you go out and condemn everybody for their sin. It doesn't mean you do a victory dance over your enemies when they lose. It doesn't mean you're arrogant. It means you put value and worth and significance on a person made in the image of God. First and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the number one reason. This number one thing about this is how you won't come across as a socio-political jerk,
right?
Because you're honoring everyone.
Yeah. Any thoughts? I mean, I can maybe share, but in terms of the political setting, what does it look like to honor somebody, especially somebody maybe who's on the other side of the aisle from yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, to respect their opinions without putting them down. We were talking, off episode here before we started. We were watching a certain newscast last night, and I would say that all the newscasts were pretty much homogenous, except for one that I saw. And they had someone from a different party on. And I think we both noted how kind they all were to each other.
Hmm.
No arguments, no fights.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was all level-headed.
Mm-hmm.
And they took each other's ideas and didn't refute each other.
Mm-hmm.
They just let it stand.
Yeah.
Nobody was angry.
Yeah.
Nobody was upset. It was just matter of fact.
Yeah.
I thought that was appropriate, but I think there was honor going on. They all valued their relationships, and I think they valued their the fact that they know each other and at whatever level respect each other.
Yeah. I appreciate how that was modeled last night, and it felt like it was they refused to descend to the level of embracing the polarization that most of the, you know, kind of bad low-level media has spit out, you know, for the course of the election cycle. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's, I don't know, to be able to just, hey, let's say I know all that I know about somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And then it turns out, oh, wow, they voted for a different person than I did or whatever, or a different party. Does that negate or refute all that I know about this person and how I love them and the friendship that we have? Like, it's not like they're suddenly a fundamentally different human being.
Right.
And to have this mindset of, oh my goodness, you voted for such and such party. Do you really want to see our country destroy it? You know, I understand because of the seriousness of the divergence, why people have strong feelings, but to be able to really listen, I feel like is one of the best ways to honor everyone, to listen and to not just maybe immediately launch toward a knee jerk kind of straw man argument that you might have kind of, you might be able to regurgitate from something that you saw on such and such website or whatever. So mm-hmm. I think listening and being able to respect the opinions of others and understand, hey, I respect this person and I don't think they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're a thoughtful person and they're thinking about things differently than I am. But nevertheless, I want to hear it and I'll be sharper for it, because sometimes that's going to force me to have clarity about what I'm thinking as well and be able to articulate that. So,
right. It's not the everyone is right thing. Okay. For example, you can be intelligent, thoughtful, but you can be wrong. So it doesn't make everyone right that we're being honoring to everyone. I think that is just a really helpful thing, but you don't have to remind people that they're wrong all the time either.
Hmm.
So if your views are opposed, I think your relationship is more important. And you look, if you're believers, you want to build each other up and be at peace with each other because of your relationship in Christ. But if you're not, if the person's not a believer, you want to reach others for Christ. You don't want to ruin your witness because you're so worked up about social or political concerns.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Yeah. Do you think, last thought before we move on to the next of the five, do you think that you would advise people, depending on the setting, to just be a little bit slower to engage in talk about politics? You know, let's say it's within your own family and you realize that there's dissonance. Or is it a question of just having respectfulness as you do that?
I don't know. I think quick to listen and slow to speak are good guidelines.
Yeah.
I think the first person who speaks, Proverbs says this, first person who speaks seems right until the next person comes and asks a question about it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was helpful. All right. Let's move on. Point two, love the brotherhood.
Okay. That's agape. So agape love, beloved, the idea of is being beloved. And the idea is that you feel the love and you express the love. Okay. You know, when we say, oh, I'm not feeling the love, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you actually feel love emotions towards others.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then you express them.
Yeah.
Now, again, that doesn't mean you accept everything. Doesn't mean you let sin reign.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's an appropriate correction of sin, and that's the most loving thing. But you love the brotherhood. That means you love Christ's body. And this is, you know, this is church Christian relationship specific.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you say that there's even, in some sense, a heightened priority on loving and honoring people of different political persuasions within the church? Like, I feel like Christians, like, if there's one place that you should be able to look and see a group of people who are at some level tied together but have differences in terms of political perspective and yet are still honoring each other, it should be the church, right?
Well, right. Let me, I'll take a step back and go, that's true theologically.
Yeah.
That's true socially, on social issues. That's true on politics. That's true on sports, whether you like UCLA or USC. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like it trickles down to every aspect of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I just, I feel like you wouldn't necessarily think, and this could just be the way that the media presents it or even our own caricatures,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't necessarily think of the church always as a place where there's unity around or unity despite political differences. And at the same time, I think on the relationship side, like the relationships I'm thinking of, I can say, oh, no, I don't think that's true. I feel like I do have, you know, unity in some with people who I'm not in the same kind of lane with in terms of politics. But I wonder if there's some kind of soul searching to do, you know, for all of us as believers, just thinking about, okay, is it somehow true that my political opinions have superseded my devotion to unity in the body or loving others that disagree?
Yeah. I think it's unity despite many differences. I think that's the heart of biblical unity. I think we're talking about politics right now, but I don't necessarily see politics being the thing that divides most Christians.
Hmm.
It's usually a social issue. It's usually a theological viewpoint. I've had people leave Grace Church because they say, what you're preaching, Mike, about the doctrines of grace and about election and predestination is something I do not want to be around.
Hmm.
And I've appealed to friends, people I thought were friends, and go, but there's room. And they're like, no, because you have the microphone.
Hmm.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And I said, well, I'm going to give you what I believe the Bible teaches. I'm not going to make this stuff up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I think that we want to have unity despite many differences. And in this context of politics, yeah, I just don't run into it all the time in the church. What I run into is people having different opinions against each other and thinking everyone needs to think the same. And it's like, sincere and intelligent Christians can differ even on some doctrines. Now, nothing that's essential for salvation. And we do want people to learn and grow in the knowledge, the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that means things will get corrected at times.
Mm-hmm.
Views that are not accurate will get corrected and things like that.
That's right.
And there's things that just Christians are going to keep on wondering about together, whether it's end times, whether it's, you know, church polity, whether how a church is even run. Those kind of things, you know, God has kind of given us some leeway and not said everybody must, you know, fall in line. Or whatever.
Right. Yeah, no, it's helpful. I think maybe to just one more thought for me on this one, to expand it beyond sometimes the level of a local church even might be helpful too, because there's certain segments of the church or different kind of, you know, you could group people together along certain lines where you'd say, hey, this group of churches or this kind of church maybe tends to be more conservative. And then on the other side, this group of churches maybe tends to be more, you know, progressive, maybe would vote Republican on the one hand, Democrat on the other, generally speaking. And I just wonder if sometimes, you know, maybe if you're in one kind of church or the other, it could be easy to look at Christians, quote, out there and go, well, they're, and I, you know, I'll just say on the conservative side, I heard people saying in this election cycle, I don't know how you could be a Christian and vote for a Democratic ticket, you know?
Oh my goodness. There was a guy who posted that yesterday.
Yeah.
I feel sad for people like that because the problem is the Republican ticket isn't as pro-life as I want it to be.
Yeah.
And isn't as conservative as I want it to be.
Right.
Okay. And it's like the Republicans are maybe more progressive now than Democrats used to be back when I was a kid. So I'm saying like things have changed so much. So you can't, you know, if you're going to key in on that kind of stuff, you're going to like live a miserable existence. Maybe, you know?
Yeah. I just feel like those kinds, that just feels like such a, you know, like to call someone's salvation into question. And I don't know that
this
people
is weird. Like you can't be saved and vote this way.
Yeah, it just feels like man, those kinds of comments seem like the kind of thing that would spark division rather than love among the brothers.
So. Yeah. Now I would say this: if you are a Christian, you would be wise to vote biblical, as close to biblical values as you can.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's what every hopefully thoughtful. And not even just thoughtful, but every believer who's serious about the Lordship of Christ, they're trying to do that. You know, you have to acknowledge that. And even with that, people may make different decisions about what party best represents that. And some, you might have questions about that, but I think you need to, again, you say, hey, this person's not stupid. And if they're a believer and they have the Holy Spirit, they really want to honor Christ and they're making their decisions, you know?
Yeah. I would say there was one pastor that wrote this article. I just read it yesterday and I'm like, striking. Like he's so progressive and so liberal about things.
Interesting.
And he basically said, here's why I'm voting, you know, for the Democratic ticket, basically.
Yeah.
And he goes, now I am pro-life and I am not for the trans and the gay agenda. And he's saying all these things, but he goes, but I'm voting for the group that is against what I believe because I don't like the main candidate. And it was like, wow.
Interesting.
Because you know, I've talked to people and I've said, look, I think I've been voting since 1980, and I think every person that I have voted for ever has been a depraved sinner. And some have been able to some can hide it better than others.
Yeah.
Some people's sins, you know, go before them and some follow after them, and some are more godly.
Hmm.
and some are less godly.
Yeah.
But it's like to think that somehow this one candidate's going to save America. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's check our priorities here.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. You know, this just came to my mind, and it's probably just a cliche take at this point, but the verse that, you know, when the Jews are saying to Pilate, we have no king but Caesar, you know, when they're about to crucify Jesus, I just wonder if there's segments of, you know, at least like the broad brush kind of conservative evangelicalism where there's almost, it's almost like the unspoken, you know, word has been, you know, we have no king but Donald Trump. And, you know, I just, it's like, you know, anyways, we're getting off script here, but, I think there's a real danger in letting our focus be so wrapped up in these things that we forget that Jesus is Lord. You know, he's ruling over all the nations. America's, we may not be here in, you know, a few hundred years, but Jesus will be king.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's go on to the third point, Mike.
Go quickly on this one, because I feel like some of the things we would illustrate it with, we've already said on the last point.
Sure.
Number three is fear God.
Yeah.
Fear means to be terrified and run in flight, okay? To be awestruck, to respect. It means to have a higher reverence for God than anyone or anything. And, you know, fear of man takes over that, and that's a snare, right?
Right.
Catches you, it trips you, it hurts you. So I don't think we need to illustrate this one. I think we move to the next one.
Sounds good. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's right. Fear God. And then the last one is honor the emperor.
Honor the emperor. That's number four. We do have five, but number four in this verse, honor the emperor or king. Another way to translate that is king. And now honor is the same word that was used in the first phrase.
Yeah.
Fix a high value on.
Oh, interesting. So you honor everyone and you honor the emperor. Same
word. Right. Yeah. Which is doubly. So literally the same exact word is used.
Yeah.
And it's like, and just in case you didn't get the point.
Like he's included in that everyone, right? The common man, but also the king. Like, yeah,
exactly.
you got to honor him too.
So
yeah.
So now we're talking your leaders, right?
Right.
So honor the emperor, honor the king. Doesn't mean blindly celebrate. Doesn't mean to worship. You know, back in those days, people were worshiping the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
I think we worship celebrity culture more often. We worship famous, notorious people more often, but it's rampant. But honor the emperor, like give to Caesar what Caesar is owed.
Right.
And not anything beyond that. So fix that high value, fix that high price on the emperor in his realm, in his lane.
Yeah, that's helpful. And it's an honor for the, would you say it's an honor for the role? You're saying, I recognize God's sovereignty in appointing you over this nation.
Okay.
And maybe this is a bigger conversation.
So you cannot separate the role and the person.
Okay.
So people have said this, a lot of Christians have said this in recent years. It's the role, but I can't stand the person.
Yeah.
Well, every time that we're talking about these kind of things, whether it's Romans 13 or other places, it's the person.
That's helpful.
It's
okay.
The person
yeah.
in the role.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just, oh, I respect their role. And I can't stand them.
Can't divorce
them. I'm going to honor them. And I am going to go back to that first point. Value, worth, significance to a person made in the image of God. So why would Timothy, you know, Paul say to Timothy, hear these words. You need to pray for everyone in high positions of authority and all of this.
Yeah.
So,
One thing. Yeah, this just came across a few times on some of the broadcasts last night that I really appreciated. When you choose to honor the emperor, in this case, obviously our president, right, who's elected, in our situation, even in a way that wasn't true in Rome, you're choosing to honor the choice of the American people, right? Like America is the one who put, you know, Donald Trump into office this time around.
Well, sure. But,
and of course,
yeah. Can I go ahead? You keep
no. I just
going, sorry.
You know, I just was it was one of the Democratic guys on one of the panels last night who said, "Hey, you know, this is what America has chosen, and we want unity in America, and Democrats and Republicans alike want the nation to do well, and to honor him is to honor the person that the people have chosen to lead." So I understand that's hard if your candidate you voted for didn't win, but. I don't know. That kind of made sense to me. Yeah, you got a funny look on your face. So
well,
tell me
and
I'm
again,
crazy.
Sorry that I kind of interrupted before,
no.
But here's why. Somehow, and I'm not correcting you, I'm just correcting all of us. Somehow everybody reads the Bible as an American and thinks, yeah, and voting is in there somewhere. Like, no, it's honor the people's choice, sure, but it's honor God's choice of a dictator or a despot.
Or
the person who is literally chasing you down to kill you. Okay, like... That leader, that Christians have dealt with, like Nero and others. So I'm just saying.
Who was probably emperor when Peter wrote this, right?
Right. So yeah, I'm just saying, like, come on.
No, that's a good point.
Christians like to go, oh, no big deal. Wait a minute. Everyone doesn't get to vote. In the world right this moment, everyone doesn't get to vote.
Right.
So now, for Americans.
Point. Really good point.
For Americans and others who get to vote, yes. Honor the people's choice. Or let's say it was a fixed election. Let's say it was rigged. You still honor.
Your point is very valid. Yeah, you honor because it's God's sovereignty and you're trusting the Lord. Yeah, good point. No, thanks for that.
I know that's a good point.
Hey, let's go to the last one. The fifth, which I can't remember. Give it to us again, maybe, and then just explain a bit.
Right. So the fifth one is this. Number five, a temporary development. Okay, now put in there an election or any other occurrence, okay, in life that throws you, okay, or that thrills you or throws you, okay?
Yeah.
All right? That should not push you off point of doing these four things. It shouldn't push you to despair, and it shouldn't push you to boast. So first of all, you shouldn't despair. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is sovereign, all of that. But secondly, don't boast. Like 1 Corinthians 1, you boast in the Lord.
Yeah.
Galatians 6, you boast in the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 12, you boast in your weakness. So I tell my kids this when they were little, like when we were doing sports and stuff. Hey, losing builds character. But you know, so does winning. Because character building is seen when you lose and don't despair, and when you win and don't boast. Okay? So if you win and boast, it shows a lack of character. I mean, excuse me, if you win and boast, it shows a lack of character. But if you can win and don't boast, there's some integrity there. If you can lose and not despair, there's some integrity there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Helpful. Mike, anything else from you before we wrap this one up? This has been pretty wandering, but I actually think it's been very helpful. Like last kind of thoughts to tie things together before we bring this one to a close.
Yeah. When you look at a political election, you may have more money in your pocket or less money in your pocket after it happens. You might have more freedom of speech or less freedom of speech. Okay. You might have more of what you want or less of what you want. Still, the mandate remains, go into all the world and preach the gospel, Christian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, give them some home cooking from God.
Hmm.
Give them what God has given you to give.
Okay? I love it. That's good. Okay. Yeah. You know, I think if it's okay, I'm going to just read from Daniel 2 to close our time.
Okay.
I think these are just good things to be reminded of. Daniel speaking after God has interpreted a dream to him, and he just says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." And then he goes on to talk about how he's interpreted this dream. But that's it. The Lord is doing what he's doing, you know, and he has all wisdom. He imparts wisdom to his people and even to others, to leaders that he raises up. Mm-hmm. So listeners, thank you for sticking with us. Appreciate you listening. Hopefully this has been helpful to you as you're processing what's happened this week in terms of the election. Until next time, God bless you. We love you. We're thankful for you. And we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. Have a great day.